Cancel culture is our topic for this particular portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Ted Baer, publisher of Movie Guide, which is a great publication to let you know about what's going on in Hollywood. In fact, Ted Baer is a missionary to Hollywood, and one of his articles that got my attention recently, and I'll link to it here, is on the subject of cancel culture and specifically how even some Hollywood people are speaking out against it. And I say that caught my attention because usually Hollywood people are kind of part of the problem, not necessarily part of the solution when it comes to the whole issue of cancel culture. Ted Baer, welcome back to the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Jerry. You're one of my favorite interviewers and best friends. So This is good news.
Well, you're very kind. But let's begin with a definition. What do we mean by cancel culture?
Well, cancel culture is a PC term for just anybody who expresses something that doesn't fit the agenda, the politically correct agenda, has to be removed from the dialogue, from culture, from any engagement with anybody in the culture. And, of course, that cuts against the rights of free speech. That cuts against the rights of having a difference of opinion, which makes life better for people. And it cuts against the Constitution of the United States, which you're an expert on.
Well, okay, so it would be amazing, therefore, for people in Hollywood in that particular subculture to speak out against cancel culture. That goes against the grain for their particular subculture, correct?
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who are conservatives in Hollywood, which never speak out. I remember once upon a time I was ordained in a denomination which since then has gone very, very liberal, and a few of us who were big pastors, and I was head of a big organization, got together and I said, why did this happen? He said, because the people who are doing the work of pastoring are not doing the work of running the little day-to-day organizations in the denomination that have just changed all the rules. They estimated that about 60% were traditionalists, about 30% were evangelical, and then about another 10% were liberal, but the liberals controlled all the devices. And that's been true now, because a couple of years ago, when Gary Sinise and a few of the people had their conservative meetings, at one of those meetings you had about 3,000 people show up, including the heads of several studios who are friends of mine. But they're doing the movies. They're not out there. The people who come to the Movie Guy Awards talk about Jesus, but they're doing Lion King, and they're doing the Lego Movie, and they're doing How to Save Your Tribe. They're doing the movies that are making the most money. So they're working. They're not, you know, making a big issue. And because of that, there are fewer and fewer people who are ever speaking up, because now they're intimidated. The good news is that some of the people who are speaking up now, like Alec Baldwin, are very left. So it's nice to see Alec speaking up on anything.
Positive.
Especially against cancel culture.
Okay, what did Alec Baldwin say about cancel culture?
He said he thinks it's creating more problems than it solves. It's like trolling. It's a giant mile-long net, and you're catching a lot of people. Many deserve it. Well, I don't think that's true, because everybody has their own opinion. So I'm just added that. And a few of them, more than a few, who don't. You know, Alec has expressed a lot of opinions in his life that's gone against many different grains. So although he counts himself as concerned, as liberal, you know, I'm sure that he doesn't want cancel culture. Then, and a lot of other people here, some of them very famous, like Ricky Gervais, and some of them who were famous 30 years ago that I know, like Sharon Stone, has gone through a lot of her own crises. So you've got a wide range of people speaking up here, and some like Bryan Cranston, who's shown up at the Movie Guide Awards. So some of these people are Christian, but it just doesn't tell you that they're Christian in the article.
Okay, go ahead and give us other examples within the article itself.
Well, Ricky Gervais, who did a great job a year ago with the Golden Globe Award, says if it's choosing not to watch a comedian because you don't like him, he says it's everybody's choice. I'm just going to summarize what he says. You know, censorship is prior restraint by the government. When you have boycotting, it's a group of people saying, don't do it. It's not censorship. But what he is saying is if an individual decides not to listen to him as a comedian, that's their decision. But when the whole community says you can't say it, it's like a lynch mob. It's like the ancient days of burning witches. So I'm summarizing what he's saying. So don't hold him to my summary.
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting? Just real fast, when I think of Ricky Gervais, and, you know, obviously he's very profane and so forth, but he did the Golden Globes emceeing about a year ago, and as I understand it, the ratings were good. In contrast with that, recently they had the Oscars with a 58%, so almost 60% drop in the audience because it was all woke and, you know, who wants all that stuff? But it's just kind of interesting, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the Oscars, you know, were started in the 1930s. My father won the Box Office Award, which was the major award, and the Western Association of Motion Picture Distributors was another major award. He won the Box Office Award in 1936. The Oscars were just starting because the major studios wanted to win awards. And they lost control of the Oscars because of the voting system, which you and I have talked about. You know, you let actors in after they've been in two movies. You let other people in after they've edited two movies or they've done the sound. So you've got people who made independent films, which increased dramatically during the 70s and the 80s, films like Billy Jack, et cetera, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And by 1991 was the turning point. That's when the studios lost control. They no longer were getting the awards. Now, once in a while, they get an award. But most of the time, they're giving awards to little effete films. And I just had one of our award winners who has done, you know, some of the best movies ever made, like The Rookie and Miracle and et cetera. And I said, you know, your movie Safety last year hit all the right notes. They're giving the Oscars are giving awards to a movie for good dialogue, but the rest of the movie is a disaster. Or like Nomadland, who has is not a bad movie, but it's beautiful photography, but it's boring. You go to sleep. When you're hitting all the right notes, you come up with a movie like the Lego Movie or whatever, that everything is going well. Well, it's harder to have a movie that hits all the right notes. Some of them involve like 18 to 20,000 people than it is to do a movie that has one little area of expertise, a solo that's going on. So the Academy has become more and more effete. And as that's happened for the Oscars, the LA Times, which has a great business section, in spite of the fact that it's more woke than anybody else except the New York Times, traces that now when a movie wins an Academy Award, at that point, you can measure it, it starts losing money at the box office, as it was happening for years.
Wow.
So people know now if it's winning an Academy Award, you know, it's either, you know, about a fish that sleeps with a human or something else. And even today, this year's Oscar featured a bestiality and featured one of the movies up was about a young girl who was raped and all that stuff. And it was seen as positive. So, you know, people understand that. So they're not supporting the Academy. And the studios understand that. The head of Disney came to the Movie Guide Awards and said, I'm coming to the Movie Guide Awards because I can't win an Academy Award. So, you know, they've locked themselves out. And that's what's going to happen as they get more and more woke or politically correct or whatever you want to call it. Marxist is really what it is. It's the five abolished points of Marxism taken to the extreme, because I used to be a card-carrying member of the National Lawyers Guild that represented the Chicago Seven, which was a communist organization before I came to Christ. As they start following this Marxist agenda, they're going to be less and less attractive. I don't know many Soviet realist films under the days of Stalin that anybody wants to see. They were boring. They were tendentious. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese communist films are boring. So they're putting themselves out of business, which is you know, I guess good or bad, depending upon your point of view. But there are a lot of filmmakers, right? And I've just mentioned a lot of them, who make great films and who are not woke and not PC, but don't speak up. They are doing the business. A friend of mine who taught at the class that all of his movies are over $200 million, and he's speaking at our advanced class this summer. He's one of the biggest executives in Hollywood. He grew up in a military family. He's very Christian. He did one of the best lectures I've ever heard. But, you know, you're not going to hear about him. We promise when he speaks in the class that you're not going to hear what he says. But if you heard what he says, you'd say, wow, this guy is very conservative and very Christian. He's just done Dune and some other things like that. So I guess I gave away too much information.
Well,
there are a lot of people in Hollywood who are trying to do good work, and they're trying to get an audience.
All right.
And they're making good movies.
And let's get back to your article about cancel culture. Why don't you go ahead and rattle off a few examples? I'll just sit down, other than what you've already said, but examples that are almost surprising that these people are condemning cancel culture, even though they're in Hollywood.
Well, Sharon Stone has been she hasn't been in the limelight for a long time, but she went through her same-sex period and everything else, said, I think cancel culture is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I think when people say things that they feel and mean, it's offensive to you. It's to bring an opportunity for people to learn to grow. Well, that's, you know, what the founding fathers believed, that should have freedom of speech because iron sharpens iron. We start to learn. In fact, part of this whole cancel culture is a premature stage of cognitive development. They haven't moved out of the concrete stage into a realistic stage of cognitive development. Gabriel Iglesias, who just did Fluffy, the voice of Speedy Gonzalez, said, you can't catch me, culture. I'm the fastest mouse in all of Mexico. Now, that could all be canceled, and he says that. And there's lots of nice people here. Brian Cranston, who's been to the Movie Guide Awards, said, we live in the cancel culture of people erring and doing wrong, either on purpose or by accident. There's less forgiveness in the world. But I think he hit the right note. We've lost the Christian ability to forgive, to understand, to talk to others. I mean, after all, your ministry, my ministry is in the world, and I talk to a lot of people in the world, and I'm not sitting there ready to bash them over the head when they say the wrong thing. I'm listening to them and trying to figure out how can I be more clear about what I'm trying to say. How can I help them understand? Bill Maher, who's one of my least favorite people, but he's very funny and he does a good job. Is this really who we want to become? A society of phony ex-avatars walking on eggshells. And Rowan Atkinson, who underneath it all, I've interviewed him, is conservative. The problem we have online is an algorithm decides what we want to see. And he says it's scary for anyone who's a victim of that mob. Jess Fox, or is he, who you know is a Christian and a wonderful person,
Wait, I'm sorry, I missed that last name. What was the last name?
Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, okay, yes,
very
go on.
Very funny. Mm-hmm. And he said, we're all a mess. I mean, look, the people who are Christian on this list, you can hear their Christianity coming out. Foxworthy said, my thought is we're all a mess. We all make mistakes. I've come to the point where I was saying when I walk out on stage, I'll remind myself that everybody's going through a struggle. You know, he's very Christian, and he's saying you cannot ever walk the line that they're telling you to walk. You're going to make mistakes. And Justin Bieber, who's gone through a lot of his own struggles, said exactly the same thing. So, and all of them have been interviewed by Movie Guide. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
It is interesting. And I thank you for writing this article. We have 1 minute left to go. But I think you've really highlighted one of the main points about cancel culture, and that is there's no grace. There's no forgiveness. There's no, it's almost like, what are these people perfect, these people that engage in the cancel culture? I mean, my goodness, we're all sinners. And so let him who has no sin cast the first stone.
Right. And we all make mistakes, and we fumble over our words, and I don't know anybody who's perfect except Jesus. So I'm just grateful that he loves me in spite of all my flaws. And I'm grateful that I'm your friend. So this is the good news. And I'm grateful that there are a lot of hardworking people in Hollywood, and I want to see them succeed. And they come over to our parties. They come to our gala. And we need to support them. And I can list the movies and things they do. But go to movieguide.org to find out more.
Okay, Ted Baer, always a pleasure. Thank you, Ted. All the best.
God bless.